Amen. Thank you, Dennis. Brother Paul Henley is out this morning. Dennis did a fabulous job filling in. It had been a while since I've heard that song sung, and it fits greatly with the morning's message this morning as Simeon sees the light that has come, the glory of Jesus Christ. He sees the light, he sings of the light, and proclaims the light. So looking forward to proclaiming to you Simeon's song. You might be wondering, when are we going to get back to Exodus? Or maybe you're not wondering. Maybe you don't want to get back to Exodus. But we're going to take one more week and look at another song. We looked at Zechariah's song a couple weeks ago, Mary's song last week. This is Simeon's song. And if you were here last week, you may have recalled that our family was waiting for a couple Christmas gifts. Amazon, whoops, I didn't mean to mention the name, let us down this week, or this Christmas, we were waiting on a couple gifts. One of those gifts came in this past week. The other one we're still waiting for, even though we ordered it weeks ago. And I don't know about you, but it is difficult to wait upon a gift, especially one that you're longing for, looking forward to receiving. And I know one of our children was looking forward to that gift. We've already replaced it with something else. But Simeon, likewise, was waiting for a gift, was waiting a long time for a gift. But the gift wasn't something, rather it was someone. So let's stand this morning as we look, I know we've been up and down, but let's stand one more time as we look at Simeon's song. This is Luke chapter 2. Simeon didn't have an online link to track his package, but he did have signs in the Old Testament that were pointing him to the one who was to come, that is Jesus Christ. So I want us to see Christmas blessings extend all year. And we see that through Simeon's song here in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Luke 2, beginning in verse 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' His father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Lord, I pray that you will reveal our hearts this morning. Father, I pray that you will point our hearts to you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see. Lord, just as Dennis has sung, "I have seen the light," just as Simeon saw the light and praised your holy name, Father, I pray that we will see the light. So Lord, you have to remove the blinders from our eyes. And Father, we confess our own apathy, our own laziness. Lord, I pray that you will help us to repent of our sins. Father, I pray that you will enable us, lead us to worship your Son this morning. Father, Christmas isn't just December 25th, but Lord, we rejoice in the baby who has come because we know the one who has come came to die so that we might live. So Lord, we rejoice in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Father, that you will lead us and open our eyes to see the glory of the gospel, the glory of salvation that has come. Lord, I pray, Father, that you will set us free this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I love Simeon. In fact, Sheena and I had talked about if we had another child, not saying that we do, no announcements this morning, that the child's name would be Simeon. It fits perfect already. It's an S, and so it would fit. But we don't have a Simeon, but I love Simeon's song. I love Simeon's song. And Simeon sings of what God has done. Luke, our writer, he's the doctor, remember? Remember at the beginning of Luke chapter 1, he's writing with precision. He's writing accurately. He's writing about history, but this isn't, I don't want you to see, well, this was long ago, this was a man who came into the temple, this was a man who did this and did that. It's not just about history, it's a record so that we might see what God has done in the past, and so that we might worship him today. So I want us to see what Luke wrote for us through the life of Simeon. Now, Simeon was a man. He was an ordinary man, just like Mike taught in Sunday school about Stephen, an ordinary man. And God does amazing things through ordinary men and women. But here we look at the life of Simeon. Simeon was in Jerusalem, the holy city of Israel. Jerusalem is often in the news today. It was popular then. It's popular now. And Simeon likely lived in Jerusalem. And what do we know about Simeon? Three things. Look with me in verse 25. This is a short song, and there's not much said about Simeon, but we see in verse 25, we see a couple of things. Number one, he's righteous and devout. That means he is fearing God. He is loving God. He's righteous and devout. Number two, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, in the past, I would just skip past that verse and wonder, okay, well, he's waiting for something, move ahead. But what does it mean that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel? That means that he knew the promises of the Old Testament. And he knew that one would come to comfort and to rescue Israel. If you see in that word consolation, you see also the word to console. So he knew someone was going to come and console Israel. Someone would comfort. Number three, not the least of the things, that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. It led Simeon, guided Simeon. So when I say the Holy Spirit was upon him, it was directing his thoughts, directing his actions. And we see that here in this passage. Now, when I speak of the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about some inanimate force like we see in the Star Wars movies. That's not the same as the Holy Spirit. Now, I know Star Wars movies get us excited. We like to see the movies, but we see something far greater here in the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a force. It's a person. It is the third person, and I shouldn't even refer to it as an it. He is a third person of the Trinity. A couple of key verses here. John 16 shows us the role of the Holy Spirit. John 16 says, when the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, comes, what will he do? He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. What does the Holy Spirit do? He will glorify me. Who is the me here? Jesus. He will glorify Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. These are key verses when we think about what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is not doing something different than what Jesus does. Always points us back to Jesus. So here in this passage, we see Simeon is being led by the Spirit. And the Spirit conceals and the Spirit reveals. Well, here in this passage, the Spirit reveals something specific. Look with me in verse 26. What does the Spirit reveal? He would not see death until he saw the Christ, the Messiah. So here, very clearly, he's not going to die. Simeon will not die until he sees the Messiah. This is a huge gift, a huge promise. Now, whether or not Simeon is an old man, we don't know for certain. It's probable he was an old man. But he is rejoicing in the fact that he knows at some point, he doesn't know what time, what day, he is going to see the Messiah. What a promise and what a privilege. So Simeon is living in expectation. He's living with anticipation. Do you remember what it was like to live and wait for Christmas morning? Just longing for that day. I remember on December 24th, my brother would always want to sleep in the same room with me, and I wasn't the nicest older brother. One time I said, okay, you can sleep in the same room, but not the same bed. You pull your sleeping bag up here and stay on the floor. That was very nice. But he just was longing for Christmas morning. He wanted to be with me because he wanted to see what would happen on that morning. Well, here Simeon is waiting for the best Christmas gift, to see and to savor the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. So Simeon goes to the temple. He's led by the Spirit. Can you imagine his excitement as he awaits the special gift? Can you imagine what it was like to await for the arrival of Jesus? Now, I've gone to the airport before, waiting for the arrival of a family member to land, just excited, waiting for them to come in. Well, this is even more excitement than that. Simeon doesn't have a huge poster saying, you know, welcome Jesus, welcome Emmanuel. He doesn't have a poster like that, but he does wait with expectation, waiting to honor and to worship King Jesus, the Son of God who would bring peace. So in verse 27, Simeon waits in the temple because he knows that's where Mary and Joseph are going to go. According to the law, according to the custom, they were going to follow and obey. He comes, he waits, and Simeon gathers Jesus in his arms like any proud relative. Any newborn baby, the uncles, the aunts, the relatives are all going to be there just waiting to hold the baby. Well, that's what Simeon does. He's excited as any relative would be. He takes the baby up in his arms. He rejoices at the sight of the fulfilled prophecy. But this isn't, it is, but it isn't just about fulfilled prophecy. This isn't, all right, let's check another box off. God fulfilled his plans. It is about that. It is fulfilled prophecies. But I want you to see this is the Son of Man who can't be ignored. The Son of God has come. And Simeon sings the song. The song begins in verse 29. It's a very short song, verses 29 through 32. And Simeon sings of what God already knew, of what the Spirit had already told him. The Spirit had guided Simeon, and now he sees what God knew. What did God know? Jesus would come, he'd be born in fulfillment of prophecies, fulfill the law's demands, and he would spread light to various lands. So this one named Jesus is the promised one. And Simeon was blessed to have seen him and to have held him. So Simeon rightly acknowledges God's presence in his life. He rightly acknowledges that God brings peace according to his plans. And he sees all of this according to God's word, we see in verse 29. We read the climax of the song in verse 30. Look with me in verse 30. What does Simeon say? What does Simeon say? He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. It's not just a prophecy that I've heard now. He says, I see it. I see it. I think of the famous song, I've seen the light. And we just sang a song about how we have seen what God has done. Simeon says, the time is now. I have him in my arms. The newborn babe, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the Messiah, Christ has come. So he sees the light. He rejoices in God's salvation. He was able to put his eyes on God's promises. Sometimes we think, well, I know of God's promises, but I would like to see more of God's activity. I wish I could just hear God's voice more. We have his voice. It says in these last days, he's spoken to us how? Through his Son, through the Messiah. So Simeon sings of God's salvation. His eyes had never seen such a beautiful sight. It reminds me of the story of Pierre Chassin. I've told you of Pierre before. He was a good friend up in Canada. And Pierre lived a life that was rebellious and was on drugs and alcohol and ignored God for most of his life. we traveled across the country, finally came to know Christ in California, and he was on his way back to Canada, and him and his wife stopped somewhere. He got out of the car, and after he submitted his life to Christ, he said, "Steve, everything changed." And he said, "No, I'm talking like everything changed. I had a new sight." We stopped the car, we got out of the car, and I told my wife, Marie, I said, "Marie, look at this tree." And she's like, "Yeah, it's a tree." He's like, "No, I've never seen a tree like this." And, you know, she had been around him enough when he had been on drugs. She's like, "You know, yeah, Pierre, you okay?" He's like, "I'm totally fine. I'm just saying this is a beautiful tree. I have never seen a tree like this." He said, "Do you know that God created this tree?" He's like, she's like, "Yeah." She's like, "I'm just telling you that this tree is beautiful and all God has made is beautiful." And he said, "I can't describe it, that everything about me changed when I came to trust Christ." So Pierre knew that his life was changed because he had seen salvation. He had seen salvation that came through Jesus Christ. This is what Simeon sings of. He says, "My eyes," look at me again in verse 30, "my eyes have seen your salvation." Salvation has come. Salvation is here. He says, salvation basically is in my arms. I'm holding him, the newborn babe. God's gift of salvation has been prepared long before Simeon appeared on the scene. Salvation was prepared long before you and I appeared on the scene. Look with me in Titus chapter 1. Titus 1, Paul says, "I'm a servant of God. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ for the sake of the faith of God's elect, their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began." Long before Simeon came on the scene, long before you and I. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "God saved us, called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus." Again, there's that phrase, "before the ages began." This is an eternal plan, long before we came on the scene. Look with me in the next verse. Simeon sings of salvation that has come by remembering of what God has promised. He remembers what God has promised. In verse 31, he says, he's speaking of the salvation. He says, "that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." Simeon's not saying, "Thank you, God, for this gift. I'm going to go hide away in a corner and not share it with anyone." No, he says, "This gift is for all people, for everyone." Simeon recognizes this gift is not for him to enjoy alone. He recognizes God has come to rescue all people, not just people from one nation, but from nations and peoples all over the planet. One of the amazing things about preparing this message was I studied more about one word. I mean, sometimes we study one chapter, one section, one verse, but there's one word that just really blew my mind this past week, and it's the last word of verse 31. Peoples. You might be thinking, okay, why did that blow your mind? Peoples. If you look at that word in the original Greek, it's laos. L-A-O-S. Now, I'm not talking about the country in Southeast Asia. Laos, in the original Greek, means a people, a tribe, a tongue, a nation. But here it says peoples, so it's Laos in the plural. Now, let me point you to why this excited me. In Revelation chapter 5, we see this word unpacked. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, "They sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed Laos, people for God from every tribe and language, and Laos and nation." These are the people that God would save from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Just two chapters later, Revelation chapter 7, it says, "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. They are praising God and worshiping God." All of these people, a great multitude. One more, there's many I could have pointed to. One more, chapter 14, Revelation 14, it says, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people." This is God's eternal plan. God's eternal plan for who? Peoples. Not just the people of Madison, but peoples of every tribe, every tongue, every nation across the world. Last night during our family worship time, we were continuing to study this book about the Advent, and we were looking at a verse in Daniel and looking at a verse in Isaiah, and we were talking about this very concept, and we were talking about when we are with God in heaven, and we said, and I asked the kids, I said, do you think most of the people that are going to be in heaven will be like us and will speak like us? And I think it was Sierra or someone else said, no, no. There'll be so many people, a great multitude. Most of them won't be like us. Most of them won't look like us, because God is going to save people from all over the world. That's good news. So Simeon is singing of God's plan. He sees it. You've prepared salvation for the presence of all peoples. Salvation has come not in the form of a philosophy, but in the form of a baby, Jesus Christ. A baby that would come and would shine as light of the world, the only light that can save people from their sins. So look with me at the last verse of the song. This is what Simeon says. A light has come. A light has come for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Light has come. Again, Simeon says, this is not about me. It's not about me. It's not even about Israel. It's about all people, Jews, Gentiles, all will come to see the light. So this is the crescendo. Simeon is singing of Jesus' role of epic proportions, that there is huge implications for the world. Jesus would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Simeon knows his Old Testament well. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, it says, a light for revelation. Oh, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Chapter 42, Isaiah again says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. And one more, Isaiah 49, he says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to where? The end of the earth. Amen. The end of the earth. Isaiah proclaimed it. Isaiah prophesied it. And now Simeon is proclaiming it. He sees God's plan has come. He sees it, and he sings to Jesus' parents of this newborn baby who is salvation. Now let's transition to Mary and Joseph's response. Simeon sings and declares great and wonderful things about their son, and Mary and Joseph stand back in awe. Every parent wants to hear good things about their kids. They just heard wonderful things about Jesus. And it's not that they didn't know these things, but they realize that these are good plans, but they're not just good plans. These are part of God's plan. These plans are a part of God's plans. So Mary and Joseph marvel at what was said about their son and his future. So then Simeon holds Jesus and blesses Jesus' mother, Mary, in verses 34 and 35. This may not seem like a blessing, though. Simeon says, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. It's like Mary and Joseph might have said, thanks, Simeon. Can we go back to the whole part about him being salvation for all people, a light that has come? This isn't the blessing that I was predicting or expecting. But we must understand, Jesus was predicted as the Son of Man, as the Son of God who would come to save, but he would also be a stumbling block for many. This is a somber note in the midst of a joyous song. The child who was born will cause a crisis for some. There is a cost. We must understand this. This is so important. There is a cost to follow Jesus. We must understand that there are some who would follow and some who would reject him. Walter Liefeld says this. This is kind of a complicated quote, but I'll just put it up here. It says, "The one who himself, Jesus, is the ultimate sign, the visible affirmation of God's declared intentions, he will be vulnerable to the hostility of unbelievers." In other words, even though God declares, "This is my son," some will say, "I don't care that it's your son," and they will reject him, they will mock him, and they will scorn him. Go ahead to the next one. A negative attitude towards him serves to brand the unbeliever as one who has rejected not only him, but the whole of God's revelation. This clash would inevitably wound Jesus' mother. So Simeon is wise, not in his own power and strength, but he's led by the Spirit, and he predicts what is about to come. That this one Jesus, their son, has come to deliver, but he has also come to divide. Some will receive Jesus, but others will reject him. So we must recognize either he is the Son of Man, the Son of God, or he is not. Simeon saw salvation was found in the Son of God. He understood the light has come. Yet in the same light, he understood others would live in darkness. It used to frustrate me, it still does to a certain extent, that some people would just outright reject Jesus Christ after hearing about him. It doesn't frustrate me anymore, it saddens me. Because I see that they have rejected God's Son. But it also, in a weird kind of way, encourages me because it affirms what God's Word says. Some believe and some reject. Jesus was and is unique. There's no one else like him. He was opposed by many, an offense to some, just as it was said of God in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. It says, he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We see the same thing in Acts chapter 4. In Acts 4 it says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Jesus Christ, he is the cornerstone of our faith. Jesus Christ, he brings salvation, and he is the hope for the nations. This is what Simeon sees. This is what he sings about. And this is what we must be passionate about. If we see the light, if our eyes are open to God's good news, what will we do? We will share it. We will proclaim the good news of the gospel. Let me share this quote as we close. It's from John Piper. God is pursuing with omnipotent passion a worldwide purpose of gathering joyful worshipers for himself from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He has an inexhaustible enthusiasm for the supremacy of his name among the nations. Therefore, let us bring our affections into line with his. And for the sake of his name, let us renounce the quest for worldly comforts and join his global purpose. I don't know about you, but that steps on my toes. Because I don't want to sacrifice my ambitions at times. I don't want to bring my affections in line with his at times. But we see the goodness and the greatness of God's eternal plan. I love Simeon's song here in Luke 2 because it encompasses so many themes present throughout Scripture. God's glory revealed through Jesus Christ, who was predicted to come according to God's word, who would bring light, salvation, and peace for all peoples, All of those things, all of these themes right here show us and point us to God's global gospel. We praise God because we can see. Do you see Christ or do you reject Him? We praise God because we can see God's eternal plan. We praise God because we can see God's eternal plan for all peoples. God's plan is to proclaim His gospel. And just as I said earlier, Simeon sees it's not about him. It's not about his personal gift. It's not about his personal comfort. He sees that he's part of a bigger picture. He sees that he's part of God's eternal plan. Well, what is God's plan? It's to use the church. The church is not plan B. Haven Baptist is not plan B. Haven Baptist is God's plan to proclaim the goodness of the gospel. So let me encourage you to follow Jesus Christ. It's through the church that God will proclaim His power and His wisdom. Let me encourage you to follow Jesus Christ by joining us, by linking arms with us as we proclaim the gospel, the good news of the gospel throughout the world. Let us pray. God, this is my prayer for the believers here this morning. Your word in Song of Solomon says, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. Lord, protect your people from laziness, a love of sleep or recreation that would eclipse their desire to worship you with brothers and sisters and prevent their attendance in the church you have ordained as the pillar and ground of truth. Lord, gather them. Gather your people. Protect them from distraction. Protect me from distraction, Lord, which would rob you of their intentional praise and attentive hearts. Lord, focus them. Protect them from worldliness, which silently erases their uniqueness and peculiarity in a generation that is perishing and in desperate need of gospel witness. Lord, mark them. Protect them from sinfulness, which circumvents the very purpose for which you saved them, to make of them a holy nation that would show forth the glory of your Son. Lord, sanctify your people. Protect them from monotonous and routine worship. Lord, I pray that you will remove just routine worship from my heart. Lord, I pray you'll open my eyes to see your glory, just as your light shines in the sanctuary right now. Lord, I pray that you will lead us not to deny you, to worship you as the one and true living God, the divine object of all of our singing and praying and proclamation. Lord, excite us and animate us with who you are. Protect your people from being overwhelmed with griefs and sorrows, which make our burdens greater than our gospel relief. May your people, your children, rest in your grace and delight in the lightness of your yoke. Lord, lighten their burdens. Protect your people from being empty vessels, merely swept clean, but still endangered by other spirits stronger than the last. May the word preached by your servant be the word applied by your Spirit. Lord, fill us by your Spirit. Protect your people from religion, which would substitute their own deeds or efforts for relationship with the one who loved them from the foundation of the world before the ages began. May they be satisfied only with the reality and never the form, only with the person of Christ and not the idol. Lord, love your children. Lord, I pray for our children. I pray for our singles. I pray for our widows. Lord, I pray for our married couples. I pray for our families. Lord, I pray for this faith family, Lord, that we will worship you and you alone. Lord, I pray that you will shake the cobwebs out from our hearts and open our eyes so that we might be like Simeon and say, my eyes have seen your salvation. So Lord, we thank you and praise you. Father, lead us to pray, lead us to worship, lead us to sing of who you are. Lord, I pray that you might lead people to the knowledge of who you are. And Lord, if we know you, we will worship you. So Lord, in 2017, and as we look forward to 2018, this is my prayer. Lord, I pray that you alone will be honored and glorified. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing in your sight. You are my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Lord, I pray that we will seek your kingdom together as your people at Haven Baptist Church. It's for your glory alone we pray. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.